Coming, and we got lots of things to do. So exciting. I love this time of year. There's a lot of excitement. There's lots of energy because everything is all about renewal. We have a new year coming up, and I just spent a whole year with you, so I'm really blessed and I'm really stoked to be with y'all. We take this time to greet one another. We have our college brothers and sisters here. Say hi. We haven't seen them for a while. Say hi. We miss you. We love you. We care for you. And for the rest of us, greet one another, as the Bible says. Holy laughter, holy kiss. Just to say, I miss you, I love you, and I value you. I absolutely value you. All right. Bow your heads with me. Let us pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for today. We thank you, Father, that you have given us the reason for this season, Lord. And as Advent is over, Father, let us focus not on the preparation of your coming, but Father, let us focus on your life, your death, and your resurrection. Father, give us the hope that is in Jesus Christ. We ask you, Father, to prepare our hearts and minds as we get into your word. And Father, that we ask for a renewal in this time, God, that you would reshape us, retool us, give us new talents and gifts, Father, that we can worship and praise you the way you call us to be. We thank you, Father, for your mercies. We thank you, God, for all that you do here through CCIC Tri-Valley, through all the uncles and aunties. And Father, we just thank you most of all for you, for your presence here in our church, in our lives. Father, give us meaning and strength. We thank you, we love you, we praise you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, what a difference 4 days makes. You know, on Wednesday, I drove around and it was like the most beautiful day. I mean, it wasn't really beautiful, but it was nice in the sense that there was nobody on the road. It was really easy to travel around. And everywhere you went to, people were always saying Merry Christmas and everyone had smiles and all these things. What a difference it makes. I drive here to church today. I get cut off by a guy, and he starts screaming something at me, and I'm just driving. I'm going speeding. He went around me to cut me off. I cannot repeat some of the things he said, but he said some things, and I was like, wow, Christmas was just 3-4 days ago. What a difference is this? Oh, man. So now that Christmas is like a half week from here, and as family members come together and as they prepare to leave or head back to school, or go back to work, or whatever it is that we're going to do, what is it that we do during this time? What is it that we should be thinking about at this time? Did you know that in some countries, such as Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, the day after Christmas, do you know what that's called? Boxer Day. Exactly. So after the season of giving, there's actually another season of giving. But see, as Christians, we should shift our thoughts from We shouldn't shift our thoughts from one holiday to the next. And usually as pastors, what we're going to do is prepare and get you ready for the New Year's and start saying all these things. Just to really get to the task at hand about the coming days and the coming for the rest of the year and just planning everything. But we ought to take time. It shouldn't be so busy, even though it is. Because the one thing as Christians we should all remember is that the incarnation was not an isolated event, but simply it was the first step of God's redeeming plan for us. Just as we too have to eventually, right, or some of us immediately go back to school or to work or to any of our daily lives, we can remember that Jesus Christ too also had school, also had work, and also had a mission to accomplish. Here's what the Bible says. Jesus grew up to become strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Jesus also studied. Jesus also listened. And Jesus also asked questions of the men of his day. He asked them questions about life. He asked them questions about God. Jesus also, too, obeyed his parents. And when he was older, Jesus, too, also worked as a vocational job as a carpenter. Like us, Jesus knew times of hunger, times of weakness, times of tiredness, frustration. And most of all, Jesus did all of this knowing that the very people that he was supposed to save was going to misunderstand him and literally reject him. Jesus suffered all the temptations and even the doubt and the rejection, even within his own family. So what does all this mean? This should cause us to meditate not just on the birth of Jesus Christ, but also his life as well. He experienced everything that we can possibly experience. And because of this, he can truly empathize with our human weaknesses, our human frailties. He did not come here to be pampered or to serve, or to be served, but he was the suffering of the cross. He was the suffering servant himself. And as we return to our daily duties, our daily tasks, just remember, because Christmas is over, doesn't mean our lives are over. We have focus because we have this new birth of life. And now we can focus on his work, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. When life starts to bog us down, when the daily concerns weigh us down, we need to look beyond those things and recognize what the Father has done and how he takes care of us. So what should we do, or what should we think about after Christmas? Well, we think about our gifts. We think about all the fun things that we had. And we think about all the joy that we shared. And we can use those very things that brought us joy of this season and use that to understand who God is in our lives. Remember what the Bible says, that every good and perfect gift is from above, and it comes from the Father. And as family leaves, as some of us go back to school, perhaps not even to see until next year, we can always meditate on this relationship. Because God was at work in Christ. And as our earthly families, we can look forward to the time when we will be in the presence of God. Not just for Christmas' sake, but could you imagine Christmas every day? That's the family reunion that I'm talking about now. It'll never have any bittersweet goodbyes. Oh, I miss you. I see you next year. But this is a relationship that lasts for all eternity. The gifts that we receive will wear out. The clothes that we received will grow into, will get tattered and torn. But here's the promise of God, that everything that he gives us is eternal. And like the Apostle Paul, we should be thinking of this gift of salvation and expressing our gratitude to God. Which leads us to our Bible verse, Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 18. We can do an answer-response thing again. Okay? And the Bible says, "For he who has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us to the kingdom of the sons he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness." Excuse me, verse 14. Sorry. Verse 15. "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." Verse 17, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Verse 18, "And he who is the head of the body, the church, he is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that everything he might have the supremacy." Amen. The season of Advent is over. The season of preparing our hearts for the coming of the Lord is over. Now it's time to focus on what the longing of every Christian has in their hearts. The second coming of Jesus Christ. Our salvation here on earth, yes, the promise of heaven are great things. But really to walk with God hand in hand, to be in that perfect relationship, is where our focus should be now. The time is a transitional time from the Advent to the second coming of Christ. And that's why in Colossians 1, this is what it's all about. Because Paul declares the great drama of the redemption and how human history ends. So let me give you a little bit of background about this. So most scholars, they feel that this description found in verses 15 to 20 of Colossians chapter 1 represents a Christian hymn. And this is actually what Paul was quoting, a hymn that was around during that time. And these verses may represent the very first Christmas carol. And if this was basically two stanza song, right? The first concerns of Jesus, the Lord of creation. In other words, he is the master of the universe and all the forces in it. And the second stanza speaks of Jesus as Lord of the new creation and the new humanity. We may have lost the tune for this hymn, but these words will help us focus on who Jesus is and what he is about. See, Colossians is based on the different meanings of the Hebrew word for head. As in English, so in Hebrew, a single word can carry many different ideas. To Paul, the Apostle Paul, he's basically exploring some of the meanings of what this word head means in this poetic hymn. See, Paul milks the word head for all it's worth, and he sees how Christ is the end all and be all of our faith. Jesus was crucified, he was risen, and that was the key to our past, present, and future. And everything all hinges on Christ. Verse 15 says it this way: he was first born of all creation. Paul says it in two times in this segment, verse 15 and verse 18. When Paul says he was first born, he does not mean that he was the first created human that was here, because that's not the truth. That was Adam. But what Paul means when he was first born of the new creation, he's focusing from that first rise from death to life, what the kingdom embodies completely. That even though that there's a broken world, that there's a promise of a cross. And through that, the world can be saved. The idea of Jesus being head, the firstborn of the new creation, is this: Jesus of Nazareth. He who once was dead, but was raised to the newness of life. And it is in this one fact that we have power, that we have honor and glory, that we can tell that the truth of Jesus Christ, he truly had all authority of heaven and earth on him. He was the head, he was the firstborn from the grave, and now even the headship over all of heaven. Paul says the same thing, but in a different way in verse 17. He says, Christ Jesus is before all things, whether in Hebrew or English. If you are one who is before all things, this means one thing. You're numero uno. You're the big cheese, the big dog, the big kahuna. If you are before all things, you're literally the number one reason why everything is held together. The Bible says Jesus is Lord over everything. He is not Caesar. He is not Elvis, the king of rock and roll, but Jesus is truly king of everything. Jesus is the king of kings. And that's why it brings us to verse 18. Jesus Christ is the head of the body, which is the church. In other words, my brothers and sisters, Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord over everyone who has faith in him. He is Lord even over the earth. He is present and he presides over all things. He is judge. For us, Jesus Christ is our Lord, our captain, our Prince of Peace. He is what the rest of the world comes to long for and want in their lives. So I want you guys to understand this poem here. There's a balance here. This is very, very, it's really, really poetic and beautiful. So in this first section, Paul says that he is in the image of God, firstborn, for in him. This matches and it's balanced by the third part of this poem. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, in him. And the middle section is where these two things are held together. The reason why it fits together is because it is everything that comes from Christ. Where we are in Christ and how we end in Christ. So in other words, what this passage is saying is that Jesus is our present, Jesus is our future, and Jesus was our past. In all things, Christ is preeminent, and in him our past, present, and future is held together. So Paul is not writing this to show how clever he is or how smart he is in his prose. But he's telling the Colossians church, and I believe he's telling every one of us today, what we all badly need to know. In fact, something that we should all memorize. So what's so important? What is it that we need to know above all other things? If we are Christians, we are to grow, increasing in wisdom, power, patience, and thanksgiving. That we need to know that the centrality and the supremacy of Jesus Christ in our lives. In other words, the more we get to know about God, the more we know about Jesus Christ. The more we understand who the true God is and what he has done, the result is that we will live our lives for him. In other words, knowing Christ is the key to knowing how things began, how things are, and how things are going to end. Isn't that a great way? It's like a roadmap of your life to follow God. It's to know that you are in the right path. This is so important for me, you, and I to be sure that our lives, everything about it, the good, the bad, everything is tethered to what happens to Jesus Christ. Hear me out. In the beginning, he created all things. That includes you and me. By his blood, his cross, he established the peace that we enjoy with the Father now. How many of you guys here today wrestle with any of your sins today? Maybe a little bit. But isn't it good to know that if you pray to God for forgiveness, that your guilt, the shame, and all these things are gone? It is by his blood. We can enjoy a relationship with the Father in this time, in this presence. And by his resurrection, we have our future. It's secured for you and for me. Since he was risen from the dead, we will be likewise. He is the king, and we will reign with him forever. And that's how it ends. Your spirit has been redeemed by Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter what we go through. It doesn't matter how hard life becomes or the challenges we face, because we know that it is all for God's glory. We don't have to take it personally, because our hearts are filled with God. And because our focus should only be of heaven, the next step that we go to, because that's how the story ends. Christianity is not simply about a particular way of being religious. It's not even a particular way of being how to be saved. Christianity is all about Jesus in this poem. That he is our life, our death, and our resurrection. It is through his son that we are saved. We cannot save ourselves. And we have to be delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into his kingdom through Jesus Christ, his son. And this was what the Colossians needed to know, and that this is what this is all about today. We need to rediscover these things if we're going to embrace life as a Christian. The new year is coming up. And a lot of times in the new year, we like to make all these resolutions and say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this for one reason or another. But the number one reason to do anything in life is to embrace Christ in it. We would do well, my brothers and sisters, to add God into everything in this coming year. Because here's the truth. It doesn't matter to Jesus. Our sins, what we've done, what we didn't do, how we fall short. Because it is only through him that we can have healing and that we can have faith. Our total redemption, my brothers and sisters. So these are the 3 points that I'm going to talk about in this sermon. What Jesus Christ and what God has done for our comfort and for our lives. And the first point It is by looking at Jesus that we discover who God is, the image of the icon of God, the invisible one. Here's the truth, my brothers and sisters. Nobody on this earth now has ever seen God. But we understand who God is because we just went through this Christmas season. And in Jesus, we understand that, yes, God came to earth and he became one of us. In other words, the invisible became visible. So all those smokes that were in Mount Sinai in the flames in front of Moses, that's who we see. All the things that we think of who God is in the Bible and all the characteristics that are written about him are all poured out in that one precise form of Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus plays out who God is and how God conceives himself. The Father is revealed in the crucifixion and in the resurrection. Same as the hands crushing the heads of the devil, same as Jesus taking and crushing the head of the snake. Jesus reveals God to us. He shows us who we are as image bearers of God to carry out his work. Paul spells it out. He says, Jesus is infinitely powerful in creation. And then he ties that Jesus' is willingness to set that power aside to become the incarnate God to die for our sins. And now we look at Jesus. We listen to Jesus. And to understand that we are called into the image of his who he is. Let me explain it this way. So we went to LA for Thanksgiving, and my son and daughter, I love them to death, you guys know that, and they were talking about, oh, what do your fathers do? And all the kids were together. And one said, oh, my dad's an art dealer. Oh, my dad's, he's in computers. Oh, my dad's science. And then Kyla goes, oh, my dad's a pastor. Right? And you're like, oh, what's a pastor? Because we have some unchurched people in our family too. Oh, what's a pastor? Right? And Kyla goes, oh, daddy stands up in front of everybody and talks all the time, probably too much. Some truth to that. But Keone says something, and I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud of him. Like, no, daddy loves Jesus. Okay? He said that. I was like, well, okay. Daddy loves Jesus. And because daddy loves Jesus, daddy needs to tell other people about Jesus. I was like, you get it. You get it. In the simplest way, he's saying, because daddy is an image bearer of God, and because he has his understanding of who he is, it's his job to tell it to other people. It is only through Jesus Christ can we understand who God is. My second point. Jesus holds all the world together, the old creation and the new creation and the coming creation. That's what redemption is, my brothers and sisters. Christianity is sometimes described as if it was an old world, an ordinary world of creation that we all live in. It was less than worthless. It was just evil because of the sin and our weakening body. But Paul says it this way. Jesus Christ was the one through whom and for whom the whole creation was made in the first place. This is not just a remarkable thing to say, but this is something that talks about the natural world. It is his idea that Jesus himself is the workmanship, is the one who committed to it, is the one who devoted to it, and is even the one who's going to redeem it, rescue it, rescue it, and renewing it completely. But the world is now full of ugliness and evil. And in fact, it's summed up to itself as death. And yes, this is true. But this was not the original intention. The living God acted to heal the world out of wickedness and corruption. He did these things so that death cannot affect us anymore. And that's why raising from the Son from the dead, the graves of all graves, our lives will not end, just as Jesus' life did not end. And the Father has done the same thing from the creation who was made first and into us. And this is that balance of the poem. And this is the turning point of history, my brothers and sisters. The cross and the resurrection of the Son of God, the new creation begins when God comes into it. Are you new creations? Is God in you? The Jesus through whom the world was made, who was made for, is the same Jesus through whom the world has now been redeemed. The firstborn of all creation. The firstborn from the dead. And at last, the whole universe can live at peace and harmony with one another. Nothing is going to hurt us. Nothing is going to destroy God's holy mountain. And that's the great promise of Isaiah. That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? That nothing is out of balance. And everything is in harmony. I don't know about you, but in life, we need peace. And when things aren't in harmony, things can go kind of crazy. And that's why we need our Lord. Because as Philippians says, all of us need that peace so that one day we can all confess. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's where history is headed. That's why we're all living this life, so that every knee will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Christians should never allow themselves to forget this wonderful scene. Christians should never forget what this is about. That Jesus disarmed the atrocity of the world, and with all the power and all authority, he made it a triumphal place to live. And that's what Christmas initiates, my brothers and sisters, is the beginning of that great process, and that shall end in perfect harmony with all creation. We are privileged to have this good news, the honor and the glory of living for Jesus Christ, so that we can understand what our meanings in our lives are. And it leads me to my last point. Jesus, therefore, is the blueprint of how to live a gospel life. Jesus is the head body of the church. Jesus was the first to rise from the dead, and Jesus is the one through whose cruelty and death and it was dealt because of our sins. And his death brought us peace. Not only did it give us peace, he gave us the power of his Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one through whom all creation is now begun. And Jesus is in whom we are renewed as human beings. And it is this renewal that the world sees. And this renewal is what the world wants and longs for. A place where the lost will not be led to the destruction. We are to love as he loved, with love and compassion. Do you understand what that means? To care for each other. This is a clear biblical fact. Anyone who receives Jesus Christ has been born into a new creation and has new life. And it is this reason we can no longer excuse ourselves for wrong behavior. We are no longer to say, oh, temptation got the better of me. We are no longer able to say that I need to yield to the flesh. Because Jesus gave us an out. Sometimes I feel really constrained to get this point across to people. When you become a Christian, you have a new source of power. I'll repeat that again. When you become a Christian, you have a new source of power, which the world knows nothing about. Therefore, we are expected to live our lives differently, in a higher level. And here's the truth, you can too. Because God did it. And because Christ did it. And if he can do it, we can draw on his power. We can tap into the Holy Spirit. That's what being a new creation is all about. We don't have to face our old ways and try it in a different way. We don't have to say, I give in to temptation. But we have this ability to see life in a different way, to see life the way God sees it. That we are not being led to destruction, that we are led to live in a higher power. I'm going to close in with a story. How many of you guys know the name Javier Ramirez? Mark Anthony Urista? Michelangelo Urista? If you go to Dublin High, you guys should know those names. Okay. If you guys don't know, Christmas Day at 2:30 in the morning, actually the day after Christmas, it would be Thursday morning, at 2:30 in the morning, right out here, I thought it was just another tragic story of tragic loss and tragic loss of life of young, innocent brothers and sisters. And why I say tragic was because when the first report of it came out, they were talking about drugs and alcohol, and I was like, oh, no. And if you guys don't know what happened, right out over here, right next to 680 Foothill Road, there was a car, an SUV, and it had five passengers, two in the front and three in the back or something like that. And it was the driver, and the driver was the first name I said, and the two twin boys, they're all from Dublin High School. And if you guys don't know what happened is they got into an accident. They were probably driving a bit too fast. They went off the road, hit a wall and then bushes, and then they hit the power pole. And when the power pole came down, that's when it killed the three in the car. The two people were ejected, and those people are still alive but in critical condition right now. And this is why I want to share you the story. Because when I first heard this story, I thought, wow, another travesty of life, man. Bad choices. But then I saw all the TV interviews of this. And it's just such a tragic story. And it's so beautiful. So the only girl in that car had a friend. And that friend was going through some bad times, as we sometimes do. But it especially hits hard during Christmas time, right? If you're fighting with mom and dad and they're yelling at you to get out of the house or something like that. So they said, okay. This friend calls up this girl who is part of this group. And they literally ask permission from mom and dad. Mom, dad, my sister so-and-so is in trouble. She doesn't have any Christmas. Her mom and dad are fighting. And she doesn't know what to do. Can we go over there and share our love with her and spend some time with her to give her hope on this day of hope? Reluctantly, mom and dad says, okay. How do you go from sharing your love with someone to being dead? God has his reasons. I don't know why. But I asked this sermon title, or this sermon title from the very beginning, was, are you satisfied with Christmas? Are you just satisfied to know that the Lord was born? Or does it compel you to move? These five brothers and sisters, now tonight they're going to have a memorial up at Dublin High School today. I believe it starts at 5:30. It's going to be a candlelight vigil. If you guys want to join, please join. But you go from, I want to help my sister who's in trouble, and I want to show them love. They could have been content with Christmas, being at home. They could have been content at Christmas, opening their presents. They could have been content at Christmas, just having it for themselves and just for their family. But these guys weren't content. They weren't satisfied. These few brothers and sisters who are now laid to rest, they had a purpose from God to share the good news with this person. And as the uncle shared, and the mom and dad couldn't even be interviewed. They were total wrecks. But the uncle was being interviewed, and he was just crying and losing it too. It's hard. Yes. But the one thing that we can have hope for and understand that what the bigger picture is that these folks want to share the love that they had. My challenge you today in this new season, in this new life, let's not focus on ourselves. Let us not just be satisfied with the birth of Jesus Christ, but let's look to his life, death, and resurrection. Let us not just be satisfied with Christmas, but let it compel us to do more in his name and in his glory. Pray with me. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, God, that even in this somber time, Lord, and even in this tragedy, Father, that your glory is amongst us. Father, we pray for those mothers and fathers who lost their dearly beloved. But God, we know that they're in a special place with you in heaven, for they were all believers, Lord. And Father, we join in with the rest of the families, with all the community, Lord, that we share our voice with them. Father, that you would you protect, would you shelter, will you cover all those who are lost. God, may you remind us on a daily basis, Father, the purpose of which you have given us life. Father, that we cannot just stand here and just say, Lord, we receive your salvation and thank you, and that's it. But Father, that your salvation compels us to do much, much more. Father, let us not be satisfied with just the things that we receive. But Father, let us share that things that we receive, that your glory may be abundant amongst this world, that your glory may share, that we may share and save the lives of this people that we come into contact with. We thank you for your mercies, Father. We thank you for all that you do, the grace on the cross. We love you, Father, for all these things in Jesus' name.